Right now, though, I want to turn our attention and welcome in to the Dan O'Donnell Show this Tuesday morning State Representative Dale Coyne, who has for many a year now fought for liberty issues, fought for the taxpayer, and this is one of the cases where this all comes together. Welcome to the program, Dale. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Morning.
Absolutely. You are quoted heavily in the Madison Capital Times, the liberal newspaper there, but the liberal newspaper that has taken a really profound interest in what I think is a very important topic. And it is a story from, who wrote this? I want to make sure I give credit where credit is due. We don't always get the same sort of courtesy from the mainstream. Caitlin Farrell of the Capital Times wrote this. Budget Committee member Representative Dale Coyne, Representative Brookfield, said he is committed to fighting any efforts to change the state's alcohol laws that could affect the way small businesses operate. You said this, sir: I will not support any law that moves Wisconsin backwards on the ability to brew and enjoy and sell alcohol. It is part of our tradition, and that's been my record on this, he said in an interview. This is all about this secret, shadowy deal that is trying to be moved into the legislature. I'm not sure where it stands. That's why I wanted to talk to you about this today. But it's a lobbyist-driven thing. I don't know who supports it, but they would basically enhance the already rigged three-tier system in the state, and they would basically screw craft brewers and wineries and anybody who wants to get into the retail side of this thing. Can you tell us where this thing stands and where it might end up?
Well, I don't know specifically where that language stands. I've just asked around, and everyone I asked about it pleads that they have no idea where it came from. So hopefully we don't see anything like that would go out there that would move Wisconsin backwards in the space of brewing and distilling and winemaking. And so that's kind of the background of stuff. Is I've see that a lot with small businesses that said, hey, we really want to brew beer, and they weren't allowed to, or we wanted to open a brewery, weren't allowed to. And so there's a laundry list of different individuals throughout the state that want to do different business activities, but we have a very, very complicated what they call a three-tier system in Wisconsin, which means that if you brew, this is generally speaking, there's all sorts of exceptions, but right. Generally, if you brew or ferment or distill, you are not allowed to then distribute. And if you distribute, you can't also do retail. So you have to have distinguishing three different tiers. So, for example, Miller Coors, if they had a pick-and-save across the street, they can't just move their beer across the street to the pick-and-save. They have to send it to a distributor. The distributor has to send a pick-and-save. And once again, there's exceptions throughout state law with this, but generally speaking, there are a lot of different head-scratching laws as far as wineries can't be open past 9 o'clock. And right. If you own a hunting club that serves hard liquor, you also can't own a winery. These are all real issues that we're dealing with. If you own another brew pub like Milwaukee Brewing Company right now, mm-hmm. across the arena, you could serve Wisconsin beer, but you can't serve wine or out-of-state beer. And so there's a really opportunity space to move forward as a state and actually create more entrepreneurship. And we're actually losing momentum across the country on microbreweries and distilleries and wineries because we have laws that are just really anti-free market.
And we have seen businesses go out of business because this would be the next logical step in a free market system. It would be encouraged, not denied. The proposal, according to the Capital Times, and MacGyver has reported on it as well, but would specifically bar exemptions from the system and prohibit companies from one tier from getting a license to serve another kind of alcoholic beverage, as you say. Isn't the current system and what we have heard about the potential to tweak this, if you will, isn't this just a sop? Isn't this just more protectionism for a very powerful distributor group in this state?
Well, there's always a move towards certain parties to more protectionism and a move backwards in this space. And so my strategy has always been to play defense and make sure we're doing no more harm.
How often do you have to do that these days? How often do you have to play defense just to keep up with all of these moves to try to protect some special interest or this or that?
Every session. Every session, there's bills that and provisions that move it backwards. And here's the other thing too: is I mean, first of all, it's the right thing to do, fighting for entrepreneurs. It's consistent with our principles. But I'm on like the border of millennial. I was born in '79, so I'm, you know, some millennials will say I'm in, some millennials will say I'm out. It depends.
What do you say? What do you say, Dale?
I think I'm half and half.
Okay, all right.
But my point is I'm always looking for issues to educate millennials and below. Like, what does free markets mean? Because they think free markets is, oh, big business. They have a really bad association with the word free market and capitalism. And I really think this is a great opportunity in a space like this to really get out there and be like, you know what, you think that people should have the freedom to name their beer what they want to name their beer, or to brew, or to have different. I mean, you've seen these brew houses where you can't serve food. So you have, like in Brookfield, you have the Beloba Brewing Company, for example, where or Raised Grain, where the food truck has to be outside. And when all these people say that's crazy, well, when you say that's crazy, that's your opportunity as conservatives to say, well, let's talk about free markets. And that's where I think there's really an opportunity to talk about free markets and how free markets are really about personal liberty and freedom, not to mention economic growth. And so that's the other thing that this issue offers us as Republicans, conservatives, and free market fans, to educate people on what free markets are.
This three-tier system and the proposal, the shadowy proposal beneath it, is a teachable moment, in other words, to reach out to folks who normally think about, the free market in a totally different way. But the fact that you can lose your ability in this state to be an entrepreneur or not even have the chance to get to the table is, I think, a great teachable moment for a lot of folks who don't quite understand it or don't see it that way.
Yeah, these are all real life. And what we're going to do this fall is we're going to go out there and we're going to, with MacGyver's help and your help, we're going to tell stories of individuals that are just like real life examples. So instead of talking about like the theory of law and the law, we talk about like veterans, Iraq war veterans that want to start brewing beer, and their wife is in the restaurant business. Say, well, I'm sorry, like you can't brew beer if your wife's in the restaurant business. You need to divorce her.
Yeah.
Or a guy up in Sheboygan who had a hunting club and then, not knowing the law, said, hey, I'm going to invest on the side in a winery. And then his hunting club can no longer serve hard liquor because he had this past, you know, because he's also in the winery business. Or wineries throughout Wisconsin that want to do weddings, but they can't do weddings there because the law says at 9 o'clock you need to shut down a winery because the existing businesses don't want the competition. And I could go on and on and on and on. And the point is that, like, these are real jobs. These are people's ability to, like, follow their passions and their dreams. And we have a long way to go in Wisconsin to provide more flexibility in that space.
What is next for this proposal, this idea that's out there? And I guess, is it a bill? Has it been introduced at this point? We've heard a lot of stuff in the background that at one point after a few weeks ago, after this became publicly known, that the Tavern League and some of the others who were interested in seeing this move forward, they kind of backed off. Now they're back again. We've heard rumors that who's involved, leadership may involved, maybe involved, these sorts of things. Where does it stand right now?
Well, I mean, I've asked the questions, and the Speaker's office here in the Assembly is not behind it. That's what they've told other people and myself. And
okay.
I don't know who that language came from. If you look at the language, it looks like it's almost like a national. There's some language in that doesn't even look like Wisconsin specific. So, I don't know where it came from. It hasn't been introduced formally, and we're always looking out for what the intent is behind changes to the law. I kind of. The Capital Times, I have to give them credit because the original title in the article they came out with was Coinga was against clarification to Wisconsin's laws. Mm. And I actually called them up and said, I'm not against clarification, but you need to understand in this debate is what people will do is they'll say, oh, we're just clarifying law, and wow, they'll use that as a Trojan horse and then come in, make changes, and those changes are to the detriment of the little guy. And so I'm not against clarifying the law. I think the law needs clarified. But when we clarify the law, it should be in the direction of free markets,
yes.
Not in the direction of you know, putting people behind the eight ball and having people have less opportunity.
Yes, this is all about clarification. I want people to clearly know that we should have a carved out special protection in this. That's what we clearly want to know. They don't want to say that, of course, but that's what's at the bottom of this.
This is not a new debate. We've had this debate in our country since the U.S. Constitution was amended, and it was amended. This is two distinctions. It's the only time our U.S. Constitution was amended and then subsequently amended to take that amendment away, and that was prohibition, right?
Right.
Because it didn't work. It actually led to more cronyism. It led to more issues. With prohibition, the story of prohibition, they put a constitutional amendment saying there's no drinking in America, and then they took it off. The second part of that is the only time our Constitution was amended to say what you cannot do, what you cannot do. Taking a constitutional amendment to take away liberty and freedom, and that didn't last long. And so I think our laws should be the same thing, is our laws should follow the principles of both our Wisconsin Constitution and our federal Constitution, saying let's be in the business of allowing people to do things as long as what they're doing doesn't harm their neighbor or the environment. Let's make sure that we allow people to do things, not have laws that prohibit people from doing things. And this whole space is riddled with prohibitions and a very American thing and a very Wisconsin thing, that's beer and wine and liquor. Let's let people enjoy a drink and let people, you know, be creative and move forward in this space.
I suddenly want to rewrite the words to John Lennon's Imagine to reflect that free market vision, because I agree with you 100%. And I think we need a song for that, quite frankly. One final question on this whole three-tier front and what's going on behind the scenes. There's concern, there's always concern, as we get toward the end of the budget-making process, that some of these things will be slipped into 999 sorts of things, you know, cleanup final bills that just make their way in there. Any concern, any worry about that?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's always, you know, concerns and on all this stuff, like we said earlier, that there's always an opportunity for people to sneak stuff in as far as moving this industry backwards. But I think there's a lot of colleagues on the committee with myself and the building who are, you know, aware and now more than ever of what can be done to move this industry back. It doesn't take much. And so, you know, we're on the lookout. We're looking out for you guys out there, all the people that like freedom and liberty and the people that like their drinks and entrepreneurship. And so we're looking out for that, and so I think we're in a good spot. I'm very optimistic that there would not be any changes. That would be negative.
I like all four of those things. I know you've got to get going. I just want to, and you've been very generous with your time, as always. I just want to pivot to one quick bit of information, because you're there. You're a member of the Joint Finance Committee. What's the schedule? Where are we at with this budget process? Are we coming to terms, is the Senate and the Assembly coming to terms on in agreement on the big items, transportation, education, what have you?
Yeah, I think that, I mean, there is momentum. There's really three larger areas left in the budget. That is taxes, which I'm meeting with my CPA counterpart in the Senate today with Howard Markline, hammering out some positions on that to present to leadership. I think we're in a very good spot on taxes. Then there's education left, and really the differences between the governor's office, the Senate, and the Assembly are not significant changes. So I think we're going to get close to that. I know that the leadership is meeting today on the education package. And then it's transportation. Now, transportation, I think, is a whole different story. I think there's pretty significant differences between the governor and the Assembly and then the Senate. We're trying to figure out where they're at. So transportation aside, I think the rest of the budget is probably good to move forward pretty fast. I could be wrong on that. I'm not leadership. I'm just an appointed member of Joint Finance, so they have more visibility on that. But I think we're doing pretty good, and I think overall, you know, all Republicans and actually all Wisconsinites will be really proud of the final product that we come up with. I mean, we're not, like, lowering taxes. We're actually eliminating taxes across all over the place in this budget. There's going to be, you know, more flexibility and more school choice in this budget. I think on many different fronts, conservatives and Wisconsinites will be very happy with the final product.
And will that final product come by July 1?
Transportation aside, I think the transportation aside, probably around July 1. As many of your listeners probably know by now, I don't know why every state doesn't do this. Wisconsin has a very nice constitution that if we do not pass a budget by July 1, it simply continues with baseline funding from the previous year. And so,
you hear that, Illinois? Say, our Illinois listeners, do you hear that? That can happen.
Yeah. I mean, in Illinois' case, I would still put them in. Their baseline is unbalanced, so they'd be in a world of hurt still on that. But
they're unbalanced.
Yeah.
Oh, they're unbalanced.
There's a great conservative thing that if you don't pass a budget, you just don't increase spending. So it's not a bad position to be in. But I think, yeah, I think we're close around July 1 or thereafter. But that's a better question for Speaker Voss and Senator Fitzgerald.
Fair enough. And thank you so much for your time. I'll close with this thought. I know you're on the cusp between Generation X and Millennials, but as a Generation Xer, come to our side, Dale. We could use you, my friend.
Well,
we could use you.
I'll take that into consideration. It depends on what day it is. You know, like on the weekend, I want to be a millennial, and you know, Monday through Friday, I want to be a Generation Xer. So
I was born during the summer of Watergate. To give you a little perspective on where I come from, pal, on the Generation X side of things. You know, it's an open club. You come on over whenever you're ready. All right.
Sounds good.
All right. You take care of yourself.
Thanks.
Bye. Bye. That's State Representative Dale Cuenca. Joining us, a member of the Joint Finance Committee, talking first and foremost about, it's still out there, according to my Capitol sources. Somebody wants to push this thing in the worst way, and it is one of the worst things out this session in terms of cronyism, crony capitalism. It's a mess. It's just, it's shameful. We don't want to limit entrepreneurs. We don't want to limit people coming into the market. That's the conservative principle on the free market side of things, isn't it? But there are apparently some who say, well, I'm listening. We'll keep you up to date on that front, and certainly we'll keep you up to date on what's happening with the budget process, both here at News Talk 1130 WISN and at the MacGyver Institute.